All comments, views, and opinions expressed during the following program do not reflect the views of this station. All topics discussed are meant for educational purposes only. Talk with your doctor before starting any new treatments. Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned to find out how you can open your mind to new possibilities in life.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles. And this is a show where every week we deal with issues having to do with mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, psychological health. It's all one and the same because I take a very holistic approach to the way I work with clients as well as how I try and live my own life, which is the goal of finding a sense of balance between body, mind, and spirit, knowing that all aspects play a very major role in our lives, and to not focus on any one of them means that we're not creating a sense of balance in our lives. And to be able to focus on all, to become more conscious of who we are as a spiritual being, who we are emotionally, who we are physically, intellectually, all that, the greater a level of consciousness we have, the higher a level of existence we can enjoy. And so that's what this show's about, is helping people achieve a greater consciousness of who they are in the world and who they want to be in the world and how to achieve those things. And I won't be having a guest tonight. In fact, I wasn't even sure what my topic was going to be until a couple of hours ago. And my dad turned 80 on May 14th, and I'll be leaving for New York Friday because we're having a major party in New York, family and friends coming together to celebrate his 80 years. And so I decided that tonight would be about fathers. My subtopic is healing the wounds and celebrating a relationship. Those of you that are listening, when I said the word father, I'm sure it's an emotionally packed word for everyone. And those emotions may be pleasant, they may not be pleasant, all depending on, obviously, what you associate with your father and growing up and how you were treated and the his presence or lack of and the messages he gave you, loving or not. So I ask you to stop for a minute and just think about your father. If you're not driving, get an image of your dad. Close your eyes for a minute. And I've used the word father. I've used the word dad. What word do you relate to when you think of your father, your daddy, your dad? What kind of feelings come up? What kind of memories start flowing? How comfortable is it? How pleasant is it? Is there a sadness because dad's passed away? Is there a sadness because dad was never present? Is there a sense of joy, even though he's passed away, that there was just a wonderful relationship between the two of you? Think for a moment about your dad. I'm actually going to start this evening with a poem. I'm kind of the family historian or archivist, if you will. I've had possession of this suitcase that's been filled with old family photographs from my own family, of my brothers and my parents growing up, grandparents, great-grandparents. Some of the photos actually go back to Europe with pictures of my great-grandmother and grandfather, great-grandfather, in front of looked like a sod hut in Russia, my grandfather at age 11 or 12 standing by their side. And some of those photos are really very old and definitely part of my history. But in that suitcase also was a composition book that my mother had kept from her drama class and her own poetry writings. And we're talking high school now, and I came across it. I knew it's been there, but I never really looked through it all these years. And I was looking through it, and I saw all my mother's poetry written in high school and some of it afterwards. And then there was one poem in there that was typed out, poorly typed, but typed out. And at the bottom of it, in my mother's handwriting, she wrote, "By Julius B. Altshuler, my father." So there was one poem in there written by my dad that she pasted in there. And I want you to imagine now that this poem was written while my dad was overseas during World War II, and I'm thinking somewhere around 1943 or 44. He was about 22 years old when he wrote this, and it's something that I honor him by reading it and know that with what's going on in the world today, I'm sure that there are plenty of GIs overseas right now that could have written the same thing, and many of us here who think these same words. So in honor of my dad and his 80 years and my relationship with him, I read his poem titled, "If." If every wave would be a dream come true and every star a prayer, and if the moon would shine in all its brightness on every lovesick pair, if all the wars would be suppressed and all the tyrants burned, and all the others would be blessed, for they surely would have learned that hate and greed and lust for power had always led to sorrow, and that they must think not only of today, but mostly of tomorrow. And if all the authors who write of sorrow and strife would change their plays and stories to read of joy and life and love in all their glories, if all the slaves would today set free and all their masters slain, so that they might live a happy life without all this grief and pain. If all the hardness ever known and all the meanness man could decree could be washed away on the ocean foam and driven out to sea. If all that's ugly could turn pretty and all that's bad turn good. And if all the things that turn out wrong would end the way they should. This world would be a better world, and all that's in it contented, and everyone in his own way happy, and nothing would be relented. This may seem like a paradox and also quite insane, but I wonder if all this came true, who would be to blame?" Written in somewhere around 1943 or 44 by my father. A side of him that showed itself periodically, a creative side, a gentle side. I mean, his gentle side was not a periodic thing. I believe he was a gentleman, and I think that's a part of where I get it from myself. That's not to say he couldn't raise his voice quite loud and scare me quite a bit, but there is a real creative, gentle soul and this man I call father. Now, does that mean growing up I thought he was the greatest guy in the world and was always there? No. Does that mean that everything was always great throughout my whole life growing up? No. But under it all and through it all, I knew I was loved. I always knew I was loved. I always knew that in a crisis, he was someone to turn to. I always knew that there was a desire for a connection on his part, and always appreciated it. So, in talking about fathers, there is an article I got off the Dr. Spock site on the web called "The Role of Dads" by Dr. Benjamin Spock, and in there he writes, "A boy doesn't grow spiritually to be a man just because he's born with a male body. The thing that makes him feel and act like a man is being able to pattern himself after men or older boys with whom he feels friendly. He can't pattern himself after a person unless he feels that this person likes him and approves of him. If a father is always impatient or irritated with him, the boy is likely to feel uncomfortable, not only when he's around his father, but when he's around other men. A friendly father plays a different but equally important part in the development of a girl. She only patterns herself after him to a limited degree, but she gains confidence in herself as a girl and as a woman from feeling his approval. She gains confidence in herself from feeling his interest in her activities, achievements, opinions, and aspirations. The way she relates to boys and men later in life is influenced strongly by the kind of relationship she has had with her father throughout her childhood, and by the relationships her parents enjoy with one another. That's an important aspect of the role that fathers and dads play, modeling, confidence building, encouragement. I mean, obviously, these are things that are affected by the roles that moms play too, but tonight we're talking about dads. Not all dads feel comfortable in those roles. Not all dads feel like it's natural. And very often that's the case when somebody's grown up without the kind of support that they needed from their dads. And yet every child is wanting to believe and expecting their own father to be perfect. So we're going to talk more about it when we come back. And if any of you are listening out there, I'd love for you to call in and participate in tonight's discussion, talk about your own relationship, or even if there are some dads out there talking about what it's been like for you. So we'll be back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break. Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
For the Rutherford Institute, here is constitutional attorney John Whitehead.
Since the time of the Pilgrims, people have come to America seeking religious freedom. But in 1786, there was still no legislative protection for the right to worship freely. Thanks to Thomas Jefferson, that all changed with a bill establishing religious freedom in Virginia. Jefferson understood that people possess certain God-given rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He also believed that freedom of conscience was vital to liberty. So his religious freedom bill stated, "All men shall be free to profess their opinions in matters of religion." The point of law is our First Amendment. Modeled after Jefferson's Virginia bill, it protects free religious expression from state oppression, and it's one of your first liberties. This is John Whitehead for the Rutherford Institute.
This has been a public service announcement from the Rutherford Institute, a nonprofit legal organization. For a free book about your first liberties, call toll-free 888-287-1787.
Great leaders are found throughout an organization, not just at the top. To find out how to create leaders within your own workforce, tune in to Our American Workplace Monday evenings at 8. Your host, Tom Pierce, will be applying his personal knowledge and experience to help you deal with such topics as finding the right job, what employers are looking for, utilizing performance appraisals, stress and spirituality in the workplace, and more. That's Our American Workplace every Monday evening at 8, only on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
Are you looking for answers to the questions the internet and technology pose? Then tune in to KFNX 1100 AM every Saturday at 9 AM. For Cyber on America, BJ the Cyber DJ will discuss the internet, its technologies, and its social ramifications. With each show devoted to a different and exciting internet issue, BJ the Cyber DJ explains and encourages the use and integration of the internet into your everyday life. Tune in to KFNX 1100 AM every Saturday at 9 AM for Cyber on America.
You're listening to Hot Talk, 1100 KFNX. Tune into Imus in the Morning from 5 to 9 a.m. and in the afternoons, the Tom Likas Show from 4 to 8 p.m.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altschuler.
welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. And our focus on fathers tonight, which in a sense is a tribute to my dad, who turned 80 a couple of weeks ago. And again, if you want to participate in tonight's discussion, if you have some thoughts or if there are some things you're still struggling with around your dad or a dad with their kids and you want to talk about it on the air and see if we can help you get to some clarity or solution, feel free to call toll-free 1-877-900-5369, 877-900-5369. If you're local in the Phoenix area, it's 602-277-5369. We were talking about dads, and I was mentioning earlier about imperfection. I didn't use that word, but let's face it, we're none of us, unless we're really kind of enlightened to a greater extent, could see ourselves as perfect beings. Although we can clearly see that there is perfection in what we're doing constantly as part of the lessons we're needing to learn in life. And being a father certainly will bring up bring up all the lessons one needs to learn in terms of their own healing. It's hard to have children in your life without your own issues coming up right in your face all the time. It's also hard to have children in your life without taking a real stock in terms of your own relationship with your own father. So, you know, we've heard the phrase that children are incredible teachers, and having children in our lives certainly bring great lessons and rewards and challenges constantly. And there are some of us that are greatly prepared for those challenges, and many of us who don't have the confidence and feel that maybe we didn't get the training and the skills. And to me, like with anything else, the important thing is to realize that there is an innate sense of parenting within all of us. And I believe that the wisdom we seek in being parents is in there and requires the same amount of clearing to get access to it as any other issues we've talked about on the show. Basically, what I mean by that is that if we have fears, if we have negative beliefs about ourselves and our self-esteem is in the pits, or we've been given messages that we're not good enough or anything we do turns to crap, so to speak, then the same thing will happen in our relationships. Our relationships with our parents or children, our relationships with a spouse or a lover, all of it spills over into every aspect of our lives. Sandra Ray has a quote from her book, Loving Relationships, that goes, "Anything unresolved with your parents will come up in your relationships. Anything unresolved with your parents will come up in your relationships." If you have issues unresolved with your dad or your mom, those issues will tend to repeat themselves, partly because you're going to attract mates that somehow seem familiar and comfortable because they're playing out similar issues that actually are not very productive, but they're still there because you're still trying to heal it. Well, you know what? Your children will do the same thing. Your children will play out certain behaviors that will trigger the same issues that you may have had with your dad or your mom that need healing. So instead of struggling with it, accept the fact that there are things that need to be healed with your relationship with your own dad as you're becoming a dad or even thinking about being a dad. And in an article called Examining Your Relationship with Your Father by Armin Brott, he goes on to say, most dads, as they grow and develop as fathers, often find themselves spending a lot of time thinking about their own fathers. Was your dad someone you want to use as a role model, or was he exactly the kind of father you don't want to be? Did he support you and nurture you when you were a child, or was he absent or abusive? These are things worth considering, because the truth is the relationship you had with your father when you were young is going to influence your relationship with your own children. And I'll add, your relationship with most people. He goes on to say, this is either good news or bad news, depending on your perspective. If you're satisfied with your relationship with your dad and you'd like to be the kind of father he was, you've got nothing to worry about. Simply having had a good role model when you were growing up has given you some of the skills you need to raise your own family. Of course, you may do things differently, but you will feel confident that you know what to do. And that's what I was talking about a little bit earlier. That's in there. He goes on to say, on the other hand, if your relationship with your father wasn't everything it should have been, you might be afraid that you're somehow destined to repeat his mistakes. Worse yet, you may have started to react to that fear, perhaps withdrawing from your child out of concern that you'll hurt him. If you find yourself doing or not doing things with your child out of fear, take a step back and try to relax. The fact is, you still have a tremendous amount of choice in how to parent your child, no matter what your relationship with your dad was like. And most fathers who had less than ideal childhoods are able to absorb whatever good stuff they got from their dads and moms and simply toss out the bad. I'm going to read one sentence there again. The fact is, you still have a tremendous amount of choice in how to parent your child, no matter what your relationship with your dad was like. That gets down to the essence of almost every issue we've ever talked about here, choice. You have a choice to stay unconscious. You have a choice to stay, in your own mind, a victim of the relationship you had with your dad, if it was dysfunctional, if it was painful. You have a choice to keep playing out and repeating the same cycle. You have a choice to become more conscious. You have a choice to say, I'm going to do things differently. You have a choice every moment about how to relate or communicate or not relate or communicate to your child and anybody else that you have a relationship with, for that matter. You have choice. And anytime you believe you don't, you're buying into that victim consciousness. You're buying into a sense of hopelessness. And you are destined to keep repeating it, not just with your children, but also with friends, employers, spouses, lovers, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever the situation may be. And this has to do with whether you're gay, straight, bisexual, or whatever. The patterns are the same. The repetition is the same. When we come back after this break, I'm actually going to talk about some people in my life and how I've observed them to be handle their situation with their dads and some of the journeys they've taken with it, some clients as well as some friends. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 psychotherapy clients surveyed by Consumer Reports said that psychotherapy had helped them? Dr. Mike Davison, host of Possibilities Radio, is a licensed clinical psychologist who works with people's challenges in a pragmatic, solution-focused, and typically short-term manner. Dr. Davison's practice also provides psychological assessment, which gives a rich description of an individual's perceptions regarding themselves and others. Forensic consultation, which can provide a comprehensive profile of a person's psychological status for attorneys or judges, as well as business and organizational consulting, executive coaching, staff retreats, and workshop training. For more information about how Dr. Mike Davison can help you, visit his website at www.drdavison.com or call toll-free 1-800-470-3257. That's www.drdavison.com or 1-800-470-3257.
Hollywood comes to Arizona to produce films, commercials, and print ads and looks for real people just like you to fill those roles. Star Maker Model and Talent can put you or your baby's face in front of producers, photographers, and casting directors who are constantly seeking models and actors for TV commercials, movies, catalogs, and magazines. So the first thing to do if you want to be a model, actor, or film extra is to call Star Maker today. Dial 480-949-0180. That's 480-949-0180. Schedule your free evaluation with Star Maker, and within days you may be working on your first assignment. Star Maker's models and actors appear in films, commercials, catalogs, and magazines. Star Maker would also like to congratulate all the kids that will be appearing in American Baby magazine this summer. Call Star Maker today, 480-949-0180. That's 480-949-0180. Call now.
Imagine the awesome power of a raging waterfall, the intensity of a 22-foot rogue wave. Brace yourself. We've packed that power into Listerine Pocket Pack strips. Each tiny strip dissolves instantly, killing germs to give you a clean mouth feeling anytime, anywhere. You do have some with you now, don't you? Cool Mint Listerine Pocket Packs kill the germs. Feel the clean.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK. 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
Here's your current Hot Talk 1100 KFNX weather forecast.
All right, Phoenix, nice Wednesday evening to everyone. It's going to be nice and sunny with some high clouds and light winds for the valley tomorrow, with highs hitting around 105 degrees. Midtown lows near 70. Some developing clouds on Friday for a little bit cool down for the weekend. 63 in Flagstaff, 71 in Prescott, 86 in Tucson at 10:30, 91 degrees right here at KFNX.
This is the 50,000-watt powerhouse station, serving all of Arizona and beyond. Hot Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cave Creek, Phoenix, a division of North American Broadcasting Company.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, and tonight's topic is fathers, healing the wounds and celebrating a relationship. Now, for some people, healing the wounds may never get to the place of celebrating the relationship, even though healing the wounds means forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean saying something that happened that was very abusive and painful is okay. It just means that you're able to start learning how to let go and seeing somebody as less than perfect and accepting them for who they are. That doesn't necessarily mean the forgiveness is going to grow into some miraculous, loving, nurturing type of relationship. That's not necessarily where we go with all this all the time. When I'm working with a client who has issues, let's just say in this case related to their father, sometimes dad's too far away geographically or possibly has already died. Sometimes there is such a tremendous amount of abuse that occurred in childhood that even the thought of trying to communicate some of the things that need to be healed is just too overwhelming and too scary and too threatening, and even to attempt it might even increase the level of abuse. So sometimes the healing that we're talking about has to take place from a distance or with the absence of dad. And very often one good tool is to start writing letters to dad, saying exactly what needed to be said or still needs to be said, even if it's like filled with rage and venom. And we're talking about completion letters, and The way they work is you sit down and no holds barred, you just start writing. You just start letting that little kid inside of you get everything out. And very often it may be you weren't there for me and I hated you and blah, 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 you hurt me, you know, whatever it was. That the idea of completion letter is to be able to bring to consciousness and to an honest expression of your rage, your hurt, your anger, your sense of abandonment, all of that stuff, if that's what's there, and you just let it flow, and you just, for the first time, without any censorship, without any fear of what might come back to you, you just let it out. It's important when we talk about tell the truth faster, this is the name of the show, it's important to get to a place where you're really saying the truth, even if it's on paper, even if it's just to your therapist, even if it's between you and your higher power, that you're saying that truth, finally, out loud. What went on, what your perception of what went on, because sometimes it's very different, and to be able to differentiate between how you perceive something and what reality was, sometimes doesn't take place until this communication starts happening. You start getting a different sense of it. You start getting a different sense of who your father is or was in terms of their own pain and their own childhood and their own rearing and a sense of understanding when you start communicating and get a sense of that history is important in terms of your own healing. So you start with a completion letter. You let things flow and you let it flow completely and then you rewrite it. And then you write it again. And then you start seeing that your eyes and your heart and your mind may start opening up to perceiving things a little bit differently each time you write the letter. And the forgiveness starts coming when all of a sudden there's not so much venom in there. There's not so much fear in there. And all of a sudden the letter may start looking like an adult writing to another adult. This, when you did this, this is how I felt. When you weren't there for me, this is how I felt. This is what I thought. And then you might start seeing the beliefs that you started developing about who you were as a human being, as a son, as a man, as a daughter, as a woman. Little by little, you start seeing the implications that got ingrained in you in terms of beliefs about yourself, beliefs about relationships, beliefs about parenting, and your own self-worth. And the more you keep rewriting the letter, and you start from scratch each time, until all of a sudden it's a letter that you feel comfortable receiving if you were on the receiving end of that letter, that it's using words and it's coming across in a way that is honest, filled with thoughts as well as emotions, and a lot clearer in terms of what needs to be said. That's how completion letters work. So when I'm working with clients, it may be many, many sessions, months, maybe years, there's one client in particular that I'm thinking of who I was actually seeing for many years and just felt so much pain anytime he thought about his father. Felt nothing but criticism, felt nothing like, you know, this is a guy that became a concert level pianist and supported himself with another type of business and yet never felt any approval from dad, felt abandoned when his parents divorced. There was a lot of inappropriate things that went on, and it took years for him to even get to the point of being able to sit in a room and talk to his father about that. And it was very interesting because I wasn't even working with him on a regular basis anymore. And all of a sudden he called me and he said, my dad's coming into town and he's willing to do, he's going to stay for a week. And if you're willing, Stuart, he said, we're both willing to do a session every day while he's in town and start cleaning some of this up. This was years after he'd started this work in therapy with me. And we did just that. I think out of the 5 days he was in town, we had 4 sessions. And the communication, it took that long for him to be able to sit in a room with his dad and say what he needed to say. And a mediator being present was important. But I wasn't just the mediator. I was also there to kind of reframe things or make sure that what was being said was also being heard in the way it was being meant. And it was a major transition. It was a long time coming. There was a real sense of determination. And his dad actually cried through a couple of the sessions and was very remorseful and really owned up to things. And sometimes all we need, and for you fathers out there, it's important, because sometimes all a child needs, an adult child in particular, as well as young child, is to be human enough to say, I'm sorry, and not be defensive, and to acknowledge the fact that no one's perfect. You didn't do everything perfectly. You realize that maybe some of the things you did or didn't do were hurtful or caused some pain and confusion in your children, and that it's your desire to heal that, and that you're desiring forgiveness. And that was one case. I have a very interesting a friend, actually, that I hadn't been in touch with for a while, but a number of years ago, this is a gay man who actually has AIDS, and met a guy and fell in love, and this guy actually had a daughter who he had adopted, because this is very convoluted here. The girl's father had passed away from AIDS a number of years ago, and actually he had custody, the boyfriend that survived that relationship had custody of this girl, and then my friend met them, and they've been together now for, I think, 10 years, raising this daughter together, and very healthy, very happy, and she has two fathers, and, well, actually three, including the father that passed away. Fatherhood comes in all forms. I have a college friend who is also gay and met a guy many years ago. I think they're together close to 20 years now, and used a surrogate mother, that he wanted to be a father, and it was very important to him, and he had a healthy relationship. And used a surrogate mother for their first child, and actually a few years later adopted a Russian baby. This was a number of years ago. And they're a family unit. And again, two fathers, healthy, and raising some very healthy, intelligent, creative kids. And that's the way it can be. Again, it takes some conscious people to do it this way. I have another client who, we'll talk about him when we come back. We're going to take another break here and talk about so many different ways of fathering and parenting and healing whatever went wrong. Stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Does thinking about money drive you to chocolate? As much as we might wish dealing with money would go away, it won't. If managing your money seems like a cross between a root canal and quantum physics, here is a book for you. Money Toolbox for Women, Simple Solutions for Mastering Your Money, written by Dr. Audrey Reed, delves into the mysteries of your money life and gives you new tools and skills in a simple, direct, to-the-point format that puts you firmly in the driver's seat. Money Toolbox for Women, Simple Solutions for Mastering Your Money is practical and uplifting. It will change the way you think about your money, which can create a solid foundation for new behavioral choices. It is dedicated to helping you deal with your money more efficiently. Money Toolbox for Women talks to you in a plain and friendly style. You'll find yourself saying, I can do that, or I will do that. This book is comfortable and easy to read. It will change your life. Order Money Toolbox for Women at MoneyToolboxForWomen.com or by calling 888-853-6564. Again, that's MoneyToolboxForWomen.com or by calling 888-853-6564.
U.N.
Over 350,000 Americans, citizens ready for the call. Heroes, you are the Army National Guard.
Make a difference.
You're trained as a soldier for America. Everything you do touches lives because you are part of an elite team.
Serve part-time.
Most Guard members serve 1 weekend a month and 2 weeks a year. You can go to college full-time or have a full-time job. You've got things to do, people to see, places to go. This is the best part-time experience a person could ever want.
Get the benefits.
It's a regular paycheck. It's the place where job skills are learned. It's the perfect way to pay for college. But most important, the Army National Guard is where
you become your best.
A leader, a team player, a success. Join us. We're on the web at 1-800-GO-GUARD.com or call 1-800-GO-GUARD. In the Army National Guard.
You can.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Do you like sports? AFM. NBA. NHL. Learn the ice. MLB.
Oh, that baby's gone.
Okay, we aren't going to lie. We do talk about some golf also. So tune in every Saturday, 7 to 8 p.m. And with host Scott Bracken and special guests on The Score.
The Score.
Your business has to deal with two important issues. You have to keep ahead of your customers' needs,
and you also have to be attentive to the needs of your employees.
To better understand the dynamics of the workplace, tune into The Carter Harden Show on Tuesdays at noon. Carter Harden will tap into the provocative current issues in the workplace that impact both employees and employers. What do you need to know as an employee? What do you need to know as a boss? Find out when you tune into The Carter Harden Show on Tuesdays at noon on Hot Talk 1100
KFNX.
You're listening to Arizona's Hot Talk Station, offering the most unique programming, 1100 KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and today we're talking about fathers. Kind of a tribute to my own dad and his celebrating of his 80th birthday. And we were talking about various forms of fatherhood, and I was talking about some gay fathers that I know, and there are, you know, I have a friend in Florida who's also a therapist and just the most wonderful soul and the most wonderful father, and his name's Jim. His wife is Sari, and little Isla is a very conscious being because mom and dad are very conscious beings. And even when they're having their own struggles individually or together and stuff, their little girl is being attended to very consciously, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And I really respect a lot the way they have brought her into the world and are, in a sense, consciously raising an angel in the very light sense of the word. I've seen other couples doing the same thing. There are some people that just go through life having kids and not really attending to what it means to be a mother or a father, to work as a unit, as parents, even if they're divorced or not together. But there are many people and more who are very consciously having children as couples or even single moms or dads, consciously having children out of a desire to do it, out of a conscious sense of responsibility that if they're going to have a child, that they're molding a being that will either add to the beauty of the world or contribute to some of the pain and problems and darkness in the world. So I really honor those parents that are consciously choosing to bring kids into the world and doing the best that they can to teach and guide and to heal their own stuff so they can be those kind of teachers and guides to the kids that they're bringing into the world. The main thing that we've been talking about here tonight is, of course, how to heal the wounds that have been there from mom or dad. You know, and one of the ways I think also, which we don't often think of, is when we spend so much time pulling apart the problems that have existed and the pain that's been caused, and don't take the time to take a look at the good things that came from mom or dad, and in this case, dad, that sometimes we don't take the time with a lot of people, but particularly our parents, to say thank you, that we are taking for granted what they were supposed to do or have done and not realizing that there were sacrifices made and effort put into it and maybe creativity in terms of how to raise the money to keep the family going or to give us what we wanted, how they kept a smile on our faces. I remember a time in my childhood when the whole family came down with the flu at one time, and I was just talking with my engineer, Ryan, because he's not feeling too well tonight either. And so I have two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother. They were sick. I was sick. My mom was sick. My dad was sick. And the whole household was like this. And it was kind of a depressing thing. I was fairly young. I'd say maybe about 10 years old. And my dad put a happy face on it. He was well enough at least to go out of the house. And he went out and bought everybody presents and stuff that we could eat. And we had a flu party. So what else would you do? I mean, I think that was really wise and creative. And rather than all of us just dwelling on the fact that we were all sick, we got a few laughs out of it. And it really helped. You know, just brought everybody presents and came back, and you know, whatever we could have eaten that would have made more of a party, he brought back. And he made a flu party for us. Instead of just dwelling on the fact that we were all sick, he got creative to kind of lighten our spirits and look for solution. That's one thing I know that my dad's usually very good at, problem solving. And another thing I really honor him for is when I was in college and my parents found out that I was gay, even before we sat down and talked about it, I remember going home that weekend knowing that there was something on their mind they wanted to talk to and having a sense of what it was. And at the time, my mom found out first and called my dad, who was actually working out of town. And what did he do before he even came home to talk with me? He went to a library. He started reading up. We're talking about 1970. It was not a lot of books to read up on this. But rather than overreacting or doing anything, the first step he took was to educate himself, because he cared enough about me and how it was going to affect our relationship to present it to me that way. And I really valued that even at that moment. So we'll be back for some closing thoughts. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
When it comes to successful weight loss plans, one size does not fit all. Today, Catherine Talmadge, registered dietitian and author of Diet Simple, explains.
I believe that losing weight can be a positive and wonderful experience if you go about it the right way. And by that I mean knowing yourself. For instance, are you an emotional eater? Are you simply a disorganized eater? You eat when you happen to be around food. You don't plan it. Or are you a traveler? Are you a frequent restaurant goer? Different strokes work for different folks.
Do you have any examples?
For instance, if you're a frequent restaurant goer, following a daily menu plan that somebody puts together where you have to eat all of your food from home is not going to work. So you have to find something that fits for you. And I'm convinced that each person can.
Talmadge points out that for most people, rigid diets that cut out whole categories of food don't work because they can't be followed for long periods of time. This has been Health News Update.
Hi, how are you? I'm Wanda Lee.
And I'm Eileen.
And we're serving it up and dishing it out. Opinions, that is.
Every Monday night at 10 p.m. Hey, Wanda, is it educational?
Nope.
Is it informative?
Uh-uh.
Is it entertaining?
Not really.
Well, call into our show to be uneducated, be uninformed, but most of all, be entertained at 602-277-KFNX, where we'll be
serving it up and dishing it out.
Be there.
Or be a loser.
Is life making you so anxious and stressed out that any minute now you feel as though you will explode? Let Stuart Altshuler help you. As a practicing California licensed marriage and family therapist who uses a holistic approach, he's here for you every Wednesday as he hosts To Tell the Truth Faster. During the program, Stuart Altshuler will explore ways to help you towards improving your life by identifying the truth about who you are and accessing your courage to change and grow. Tell the Truth Faster, Wednesdays 10 to 11 p.m. only on Hot Talk 1100 KFNX.
1100 KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. And the last few minutes of the show tonight, again, about fathers, healing the wounds and celebrating a relationship. And I was just honoring my dad for how he handled my coming out to him and stuff by educating himself before going into it and overreacting or reacting in a way by saying things out of his own fear, or, you know, sometimes parents are feeling guilty about something like that. And things get said sometimes that cause damage. And I've always respected and was surprised and appreciated the way he handled my coming out by doing what he could to educate himself about homosexuality and trying to understand his son a little bit and ask intelligent questions of me when we actually sat down to have the talk between my mom and dad and myself. We're talking many years ago now, early 70s, 70, 71. And again, what I said was sometimes we don't take the time to say thank you for those things that have happened that were good, because we're so into the drama and focusing on the pain and the suffering that has been there. And I think it's important, in order to get a balanced perspective, that we take a minute. And as I talked about the completion letter earlier about, you know, ventilating everything, it's important to maybe make a list of the things about your dad and your mom that you do appreciate, maybe qualities and traits that you know seem similar to them that you appreciate, as opposed to just the things that you don't like looking at. And in closing, I'm going to actually read a little section here from Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. And Louise being another one of my teachers of many years, and it's a section called Blaming Your Family. And she writes, Louise Hay writes, "Blame is one of the surest ways to stay in a problem. In blaming another, we give away our power. Understanding enables us to rise above the issue and take control of our future. The past cannot be changed. The future is shaped by our current thinking. It is imperative for our freedom to understand that our parents were doing the best they could with the understanding, awareness, and knowledge they had. Whenever we blame someone else, we are not taking responsibility for ourselves. Those people who did all those terrible things to us were just as frightened and scared as you are. They felt just the same helplessness as you do. The only things they could possibly teach you are what they had been taught. How much do you know about your parents' childhoods, especially before the age of 10? If it's still possible for you to find out, ask them. If you're able to find out about your parents' childhood, you will more easily understand why they did what they did. Understanding will bring you compassion. If you don't know and can't find out, try to imagine what it must have been like for them, What kind of childhood would create an adult like that? You need this knowledge for your own freedom. You can't free yourself until you free them. You can't forgive yourself until you forgive them. If you demand perfection from them, you will demand perfection from yourself, and you will be miserable all your life. Some very wise thoughts from Louise Hay from You Can Heal Your Life, which is a book that I highly recommend. In fact, I gave a copy of it to a client of mine today. And some very clearly stated and very simple wisdom in Louise's work. So, completing with what we've been talking about tonight, think about your dad. Think about what still blocks you in your own life. And allow yourself the courage to get honest and tell the truth about what you need to work on and how you need to heal it. So, thanks for listening tonight. And we'll be on the air again next week. So stay tuned. And Ryan, you feel better and get home when you can and take care of yourself. Good night.
Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, is broadcast live every week at the same time. Thank you for listening.